This episode of iRescue Radio is brought to you by ProCPR.org. Online CPR training, when you want it, where you want it.
And welcome back to iRescue Radio. I'm Roy.
I'm Jody.
I'm Dan.
And we're going to be covering a couple things in today's show. Mm-hmm. One of which is going to be talking about this healthcare reform. Mm-hmm. And I think people are really pretty tired of listening to it and thinking about it until you get sick or injured and you don't have good health insurance.
It's replaced Iraq in the news.
Yeah, it has. I think everyone grew numb.
7 years of it.
Yeah, except for the people that are dying over there, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. Or getting their legs blown off or concussions. Right. But I think it's worthy to talk about, and we'd like to hear from our listeners and see what they think about it as well.
Yeah.
The other part is kind of getting back on the topic of weight gain. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was very amazed at it could be a sign of depression. Mm-hmm. It could be a sign that your sniffer isn't working correctly. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, we'll talk about it.
Could be a sign that I like food.
Well, you know,
could be a sign
not that I live for food.
I sit in my chair and watch TV and eat chips and cheese at 11 o'clock at night and fall asleep with them on.
Hanging out of your mouth?
Did your wife ever.
Could be a sign that.
Have to share the bed with you, or do you simply just fall asleep in the TV every night?
No, not every night.
In the TV or by the TV?
Yes.
When you fall asleep in the TV, there's major issues.
Exactly. Yeah. How did I get in here?
His virtual nap.
Yeah, there you go.
So, you know, I don't know what to think about all this weight gain, weight loss stuff.
Oh, I know what to think of it. I don't like to.
How do you deal with your weight gain problems? I just don't think about it.
Just ignore it. I mean, come on. Hey, well, ignorance is bliss.
Well, some people would say stop watching the scale. Mm-hmm. And they just say, you know, watch your waist size. How do you feel? And if you're working out, especially trying to gain muscle mass, they'd say, don't look at the scale.
Yeah.
Look at other things. Look at flab. Look at waist size, excess, glove handles. You know, nothing cracks me up more than that commercial where a hotel bellboy comes running up to the patron of a hotel carrying these two globules in their hand. And they say, sir, I think you dropped these. And the guy and the patron looks back and says, oh, yeah, I meant to leave them there. Yeah. They're love handles.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
I'm taking the stairs.
Yeah. He says, yeah, I lost them taking the stairs. Mm-hmm.
Ah, Mr. 14th floor.
Yeah. Well, Dan, you're going to do something about it today. You're going for a walk at lunchtime.
I'm going for a walk. Mm-hmm. I went for a walk this morning.
How long a walk and how briskly?
Two miles, my wife and I, and we had a pretty good pace going.
Did you spill your coffee?
No. Let's not go there. but at lunch, I suspect you'll lap me 3 or 4 times on your bike as I'm walking.
No, I think I'm going to go to the trail.
Oh. Mm. Okay.
Yeah. Get a quick 30-minute in.
Well.
Try to avoid chest pains.
Okay, Jody, what are you doing?
Hey, today?
Going to the buffet.
I'm going to the buffet. Today I'm not planning to walk or ride, but my swim. Swimming's my thing. I got to swim.
Yeah. I totally thought of Caddyshack. Mm-mm. When you told me about your Friday evening venture to the YMCA, only to find the pool. Yes. Pool was closed.
We went to swim last Friday.
Jody, this has happened before to you.
It wasn't me. It was closed.
I mean, it's closed. It was closed before. I didn't mean you left some remnant behind.
We got to the pool.
For real? You saw it floating?
No. We got to the pool Friday night, and the pool was supposed to be open, and it was closed. So I said, why is the pool closed?
Poo-poo.
They told me.
You know, do they have to drain the whole pool?
No, you just
super shock it.
You have to super shock and you have to let it cycle through a complete cycle.
Ouch. That's a lot of water.
I was just
Well, it's like filtration.
No, I understand.
They should find the parent of the child.
Well, really? Honestly?
Yeah, absolutely. What if it was your child? You know I'm all about socialism. Exactly.
How do you fine someone for inadvertently having their child, though you tried to poo-poo them prior to getting them into the pool? And I'm telling you right now, we use those swim diapers in the little ones. Mm-hmm. It doesn't hold it. And even if it does hold it, who gives a rip? Like it's complete,
no pun intended.
Like it's completely protecting the water from circulating in and out of the swim diaper. There isn't any fecal molecules escaping.
You know, okay,
That's why there's chlorine and that's why there's filters.
That's exactly right. I say super shock the thing, wear goggles. And a respirator.
And don't inhale.
And don't get it on your skin.
I swear, never inhaled.
Other than that, have fun at the pool.
That's right. Enjoy.
Oh, man. Well, you know what happened to the lake near our house?
What? Oh, yeah. Yes.
It wasn't just a little poo-poo.
No, that was last summer.
How many gallons of raw sewage went into the lake?
That was awful.
Hundreds of thousands of gallons by terrible. The time they found it. They said they could see a grayish-green river flowing into the lake.
Like an oil spill?
Yeah.
But it wasn't oil.
Nope. A new kind of slick?
It was a slick, but it wasn't oil. You know, in less than 2 weeks, they were back in it.
No. Well, there were people in it. Doesn't mean that they should have been.
You know what? They said that lakes are mm-hmm. notorious for being able to filter contaminants mm-hmm. like that very quickly.
It's amazing.
Exactly. It's the way they're made. They're made to overturn. It's what they do.
It's full of stuff anyways, right? Yeah. Natural biodegrading stuff. Mm-hmm. But anyways, but we're enjoying the weather, and hopefully you'll be able to enjoy the pool, and no one will have a little...
Well, I do swim in lakes, too, though, now.
Do you?
Yeah, we've got, like, the lakes we go to.
Do you swim in the deep or in the shallow?
Well, both.
I saw somebody being very smart the other day when we were out boating. Huh? They were doing their laps in the lake, but they were probably... 10, maybe 15 yards offshore mm-hmm. at all times, and they ran parallel to the shore.
Yeah.
I've seen people go across the lake.
And we always did.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's two problems with that. Number one, they're hard to see. It's not like they're wearing mm-hmm. a fluorescent orange cap on, and you can only see a couple arms, and if the sun is hitting just right, I mean, I watch really closely. In fact, we use a spotter at all times mm-hmm. when we're pulling somebody, and I'm trying to always look for it, but you look back once in a while. Yeah. If at the wrong time that person was under the water and popped up, I would just freak out.
Well, I tell you what we used to do. When we go across the lake, we always had an inner tube with us, and sometimes it even had a flag on it because that'd be stupid. It's just not smart. You got a lake that has boats on it.
Yeah.
You've got to have
some marker of some sort. Yeah. Right.
Even boats get hit in the lake.
Look at Dan.
He's going.
He's looking at us like, you guys are just out of your minds.
What, Dan? You just swim across, don't care about boats.
Mr. Idiot went shark. went out with the shark for abalone to try to provide for his family. Idiot shouldn't have been in the water. Now we're learning that Mr. Idiot in the water actually went swimming across a lake with camouflage swim cap on.
What's camouflage water look like? Depends on the lake you're in, right, Roy?
It has little ripples.
Little green slick.
All depends on the
context. No pun intended.
Hey, honey, look at this cap. It's like it looks like I'm always under the water. Isn't that a good idea? She starts ruffling through life insurance policies.
We are covered, right?
Hey, honey, can I see the will? Please?
Can I see your auto debit that our premiums are paid? Have fun swimming. Oh, man.
No, we would swim early in the morning before the boats went out. Uh-huh. I mean, it was a long lake. It was a mile and a half long. You had a pretty good clue that they were coming. And
yeah. Mm-hmm. What if you tired in the middle?
You were dung out of luck.
Well, you wouldn't float?
Yeah, I would rest.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we were 13, 14, 15 years old.
Yeah. I don't rest when I tread water, though.
Yeah.
I rest floating.
Well, you float.
You know, few precautions.
Can you tread water with your feet alone?
Yeah.
You can?
Yeah, and the bizarre part of that is I'm a sinker.
I am, too.
There are some floaters in this life. I've seen them, and I've had to try to rescue them, you know, in swim lessons.
Are you a lifeguard?
No. No, I...
We were going to learn something new about this guy.
I was wondering myself.
I know.
I've been lifeguarding for 20 years, and I never knew.
He did. You'll swim lessons. Feel free to get to know me.
All right.
How long do I have to be here before I become interesting enough that you would want to get to know me?
Sometimes you know a little too much.
I'm not going to force myself on you, Jode.
Well, all right. All right.
One of the things I've learned about this show is we sometimes uncover things that are better left buried.
That's right. It helps our psyches.
It does. And our listenership.
Yes, I can tread water just with my feet.
You're amazing. I can if I have those flippers on.
That's it?
Yeah, I sink.
Wow.
I kid.
He's a sinker.
I am a sinker. Even floating on my back.
Yeah.
Only my apex of my chest up is out of the water.
My body just, my feet go straight to the bottom.
Yep.
It's not a pretty sight.
I've always wanted to swim in the Dead Sea.
Yeah.
Because there, I heard you can be a tank and float.
You can't go underwater hardly at all there.
And my daughter just proved that at her scientific.
Yes, she did.
Right? With a crayon in water. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Threw it in there. Blunk. Right to the bottom.
Yeah.
Started adding salt.
Yeah.
Up to the top.
Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah.
Cool.
Anyway.
Yeah. Cool stuff. Well, let's find out what's hot.
Ready or not, it's time for this week's Hot Topic.
You know, our hot topic today is what we need to know about healthcare reform. Though it's been mentioned since President Obama has come in, I think they're really trying to take it on now. They've kind of right-sized the auto industry to some degree. They've leveled that topic. They got things cooking in Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is their next on their agenda. They know politically they've got to take a crack at it before elections come up for Congress.
Right, which is coming up.
Which everybody gets cold feet during an election year. Mm-hmm. No one's willing to make a move.
Well, they're the counterbalance, right?
Well, just this morning, I heard Bob Dole.
Yeah.
I didn't...
Piped in.
He was on the radio this morning. I'm thinking, Bob Dole?
Came out of retirement?
Where'd that come from?
And he sounded like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Howard Baker was one of them as well. And but, you know, it is interesting to hear the statistics thrown out and the other side claiming the statistics are not... If you broke them down, they would look differently than just a raw number. So where it suggests that 46 million Americans have no insurance, 25 million are underinsured.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of that 46 million, I know the Republicans are stating 10 million of those are illegal aliens.
Mm-hmm.
10 million or so, 16 million are families that have an income of $75,000 a year or more and could have insurance.
Mm-hmm.
That's an interesting number.
I would like,
yeah, well, okay.
That's a relative term, but I mean,
well,
that's what they're trying to say.
I question that number just on raw logic. If you earn $75,000 a year, you're not a numbskull. Probably have a college degree. Most likely...
Not to say that people without college degrees are numbskulls.
If you earn $75,000 a year,
you've
got life and you've got health insurance.
I don't
accept that argument.
You're saying you do if you make $75,000
a year?
Or could.
I don't think so.
Or could.
You will earn $75,000 a year and have habits that suck up all that money, and you won't provide basic life and basic health insurance for your family?
Which is a lot of people in that category.
Maybe.
I think I'm sure there are. I mean, you and I and Roy are going to think differently because we have families to provide for.
Right.
There are a whole lot of people making a lot of money that don't care for their families.
I would consider it a very small percentage.
I don't think so.
Are we talking about
combined income or single income? Or doesn't it matter?
Well, you know, and we discussed that the other day. If you've got a husband that makes $40,000, wife makes $35,000, or vice versa, you know, maybe they are struggling. Now, and the other piece of that is maybe you're basing your $75,000 a year based on 2008 employment figures.
Mm-hmm.
Many of those $75,000 a year people ain't earning $75,000 this year.
Right. There's been big changes.
So that's my concern with when they throw the numbers out on both sides of the aisle.
And I'm sorry. Now, can I say, too, I hate to always disagree with you, but $75,000 seems like a lot. But once you take taxes out, and then once you take your deductions out, and then if you do some kind of 401k or simple IRA or something like that, your spendable net income is probably 33% less than that.
I will never agree on that. That's.
I'm just saying. I guess I could.
I mean,
see,
could it happen? Yeah, I think the percentage is far smaller than what they're suggesting. Yeah. So I'm not saying there isn't. You know, here's the other statistic they used. Of the 46 million, 10 to 15 million could be on the Medicare rolls and have not enrolled.
Well, you can make almost like $70,000
and still be on the roll
and still be on.
Yeah.
And then that doesn't even count my child. Right. Like here in Michigan.
That's right.
The adults might not qualify, but the kids could.
They do qualify very easily.
Statistics. Now, this is from CNN.com.
Okay.
A senior medical correspondent, Elizabeth Cohen, wrote this article. Mm-hmm. And I found if these figures are even remotely close, they're disturbing. The United States spends 52% more per person than the next most costly nation of Norway.
Okay.
Let me get to
this. This is according to the Kaiser Family Foundation, which I believe is part of the Kaiser Permanente medical group, right?
Mm-hmm. Medicare beneficiaries... in McAllen, Texas, Medicare beneficiary spends $15,758 per year, while the average Medicare patient in La Crosse, Wisconsin, spends $6,412.
Mm-hmm.
In Miami, Florida, $18,170, compared with $7,478 in Portland, Oregon, which isn't exactly a small town.
Mm-hmm.
So there's tons of discrepancies, but the raw point is, if you took the average annual expenditure per person for healthcare in the United States, they're suggesting it's 52% higher than healthcare in Norway, the next closest nation. And they're not exactly throwing out. Now, granted, their taxes are higher, right? Mm-hmm. You know, their lifestyles are very different there. Yet the United States ranks 50th in life expectancy and 44th in infant mortality rates.
Well, you know what?
That's unbelievable.
You know, two things came to my mind as you're talking about this. Number one, the first knee-jerk response I had was, I don't want any other country's medical system. I mean, I'm in the medical field.
Right.
And I've heard stories from visiting people from other countries, and for as many people that will sing the praises of a socialist medical coverage, there's probably a greater percentage that said, yeah, and I had a tumor the size of Texas on my back and couldn't get into a specialist for over 18 months until it metastasized to my lungs and I died.
That's Canada.
Okay, so that being said, I'm thinking of a health savings account, which is what we've got here.
Correct.
Health savings account. Great coverage, but you got a deduction, right? Mm-hmm. You got to pay out of pocket a certain percentage for your own or your individual and in your family. Mm-hmm. However, here's what has happened since I started ponying up a substantial payout.
Yes.
Up front. Instead of an HMO with a $10 copay.
Right.
I'm thinking more about my long-term health preventatively so that I don't have to use my insurance as much. You with me?
Yeah, because it's coming out of your pocket first.
Yes, so what I'm wondering is the reason that these other countries' medical statistics, they're better, is it because they're not living willy-nilly lives and saying, hey, I got great medical coverage. If I have a problem, I'll just run into my cardiologist and get a stent. Not that people are literally saying that, but they might be subconsciously saying, we have such good medicine here in the country. If I'm reckless with my life, it doesn't matter because I'll just go in and get it fixed. Whereas countries that don't have as comprehensive or as fast a turnaround or as good of coverage, maybe they're living better stewardship lives so that they don't need the insurance as much
but
or the medical field.
But 49 other countries who spend substantially less than us are living longer than we are.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not disagreeing. Maybe they're thinking about it in the big picture.
And their infant mortality rates are far better than ours.
America, cardiovascular disease is the number one killer in America.
As opposed to other countries. So are we spending substantially more because of our lifestyle?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I think, you're going to go out skydiving, right? You're going out skydiving and you have a family and you don't have a life insurance. Do you continue to jump? Just for the fun of it.
Yeah, those young men do.
Okay, that's not my point.
And I think they're all knuckleheads.
My point, I know you do. Mr. Swimmer with the camouflage cap on.
Swim across the lake?
Yeah, right straight across in front of a powerboat. My whole point is, are we more careful if you don't think you have nine lives? And is that the reason why some of these older countries, and I'm not meaning older in a derogatory, I mean they've got more history. They've been an organized country way longer than the United States.
Yes.
Here we are, basically saying, making this skydiver feel like, I've got accident insurance, I've got dismemberment insurance, I've got life insurance up the wazoo. What's the risk?
Yeah.
I mean, in fact, I've even got a second parachute. You follow what I'm
absolutely.
Saying?
Absolutely.
So I'm going to have a... So you translate
suggesting
that to
they're
that.
Taking more... Yeah. We as a society take far more risks, take less... care of ourselves,
I think so.
Than other nations that know they can't just bop into the ICC and get something stitched up.
Yeah.
Or
I think
time I've got a strep throat, I run in. Every time I've got a migraine, I run in.
Yep. No, that's exactly what I'm saying. And wouldn't that be an interesting study to find out that once you have not very good coverage, people start to think about their health more? Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe we need this contraction.
Well, and here's the other part of our society. Are we not a libelous society? We tend to sue every chance we get.
Yeah.
So the insurance costs that these... Now, when they discussed it with the AMA, American Medical Association, the doctors, they're saying between the paperwork and the insurance coverage we've got to have, that's where a good chunk of... Now, Jody, what do you think?
No, that's exactly what you're saying. It's... The paperwork the doctors have to do, oh my word, the medical paperwork is just unbearable. And I think that's a huge part of the cost, you're saying.
So if you took a doctor in Norway, family practice here, family practice there, do you think that person does as much paperwork?
I doubt it. I don't know that for sure, but I doubt it.
Do they spend more time practicing their craft? See,
that's what I think. That's my guess. And again, that's purely a guess.
Yeah.
I can't give you that for a fact, but that's what I'm thinking.
And here's another food for thought. If doctors are basically hired by the state or the federal government or the republic...
They're not making as much.
They're probably not making as much.
Right.
Does college cost as much?
No.
So are they going into medical practice with as much
baggage?
Debt?
Right. Needing to really knock it out. And they talked about that, Roy, with President Obama was really stressing to the AMA, we want more doctors going into family practice versus specialty fields. But the money is
in
the
specialty
fields.
Oh, yeah. It is. And that's what the but who's driving that?
We want
a specialist.
You know, I know somebody that's got a little rash to the left of their eye, and it's been around. Won't go away.
Is it contagious?
We are bad. Come hug me.
Dan, I don't want to get to know you
we
that
got
much.
Three options. Jettington. We can jump to a Cascade ICC.
Yeah.
We can go down to Dr. Kiros, our doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Or we can go to a dermatologist. I got three choices.
Mm-hmm. You're going to a dermatologist.
That's what thought comes to my mind.
Well, and here's why, though.
But why?
Well, here's why.
Why would I go to a specialist?
Well, I'll tell you why. Because your general practitioner or your pediatrician or your whatever is going to say, you know what, this is not your classic dermatitis. This is not a contact dermatitis, and I have a hunch, but I can't guarantee you what it is.
Right.
I'm going to refer you to a good dermatologist.
Have we dummied down, no pun intended, no offense intended, our family physicians.
Absolutely.
And that's my problem.
Because of specialties.
Yeah, I that's my problem right there. That was kind of my point is, who's driving the need for specialists?
Egocentric.
I remember my family physician when I was younger. Now, obviously, I didn't have the knowledge that I had when I was younger, but you went to him for anything and everything.
And everything.
And he cured almost everything.
And he did. And there was no issue. But
he or
now,
she cured him.
Now you go to a family physician, and no matter what you have, you're going to a specialist.
Well, it's even in dentistry.
I don't like that. I don't.
We didn't have it. The blessing of our dentist is when our daughter needed orthodontics, he did it.
Right.
I didn't need to go to an orthodontist.
Exactly, and that's what bugs me.
How can a dentist not be able to perform orthodontics?
Yeah. Here's my concern with this new government administration's view on healthcare. if we really were trying to take a holistic approach about prevention, reaction, and rehabilitation, I may be able to swallow it more, because quite frankly, I think that's what we're doing here, even in our office. Mm-hmm. We're empowering everybody here at this office to take charge of their health care.
Absolutely.
Right? Mm-hmm. If, at a low cost.
Right.
I'm afraid that $1 trillion over the next 10 years is not about prevention so much, but trying to get the best healthcare for as many people as possible. And quite frankly, I think until people actually pony up to taking some responsibility preventatively, the highest costs that we're seeing are really quite preventive.
Well, in America, especially.
Heart problems.
Yeah, that is the number one.
Stroke problems, diabetes, high blood pressure, cancer. There's even stuff that we know that tends to lead us to higher cancer.
Absolutely.
Let's get the poisons out of our environment.
Yeah, that's what they should be measuring here as well, is what are the general health conditions of a person in Europe versus the United States?
Yeah.
I think we always talk about France. There's not a fat person in France.
Really?
That's what they suggest.
Wow.
And yet they eat some of the highest quality foods, very rich foods, and yet somehow, some way, they're generally perceived as healthier. At least that's what I have.
Italians and French.
Yeah.
And, sure.
There's something going on that we're missing. And part of it is quarter mile down the road, how many fast food restaurants we got?
It's ridiculous.
Oh, they're everywhere.
Yeah. Five?
They're everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
Yeah. Well, you know, they're everywhere.
Yeah.
The thought of bringing in a salad, making your lunch, is far more work.
Is radical.
Is radical.
Yeah.
Not to us.
Then jumping around the corner and just grabbing a Taco Bell, baby.
Some would even say we're not even eating right. Yeah. I mean, some would say you're eating a huge meal at lunch.
Right.
Why aren't you just having a little bit of cheese and crackers and something to drink?
Yeah.
And then resting for a little bit.
No, you're right.
And then, you know, eat your big meal in the morning. Then have a little snack at
night. That's right. And part of that study that we never really got to in the dieting about carbohydrates. They're saying eat protein-rich breakfasts and lunches and have your carbs at around 4 to 5 o'clock in the evening.
No. Who's saying that?
That was in that article
I read. Oh, it's just the opposite. You pound your carbs, your complex carbs, all in the morning. You upload your biggest calories in the morning, taper off.
They're
with
saying
lower
that
carbs
the body craves.
It does. That's the difference.
At around 4 o'clock.
Yeah, but what kind of
how
carbs
many times
are you talking
about? Well, I don't know. Carbs. The point is, I go home and I grab the bag of tortilla chips.
Simple carbs.
Yeah.
Those, I gotta pound them.
Those are
I'm
sugar.
I'm dying for it.
That's just pure sugar. That's because you're having an insulin dip at that time.
Yeah.
A sugar dip.
Yeah.
Your glycemic index is taking a dive because we upped our insulin production during the day by snacking and
because
eating.
Because I'm not grabbing for the bag of broccoli.
No.
One of the things, though, that I've been told on the diabetic diet is actually you want some carbs at night before going to bed to keep your diabetic numbers level.
Okay, but sugar levels again, level, carbs, level is levels. Carbs is like saying an EMT.
Well, yeah.
In EMS, there's levels of carbs.
It's not the time to eat donuts.
It's not the time to eat anything that's simple. Yeah. Like processed flour.
Right.
Processed flour turns into one thing.
Sugar.
Sugar. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about anything with starches.
So you're saying my chips and cheese for breakfast.
If you're going to have them, you'd be better off having your chips and cheese at breakfast when your body is already starving of glycogen is not in a process of storing fat, but burning fat to make up for your nightly fast.
But why? Well, let's talk about me.
I want to.
I get up in the morning, and all I want is a cup of coffee.
Why?
I don't know, but the point
is... Because you pounded chips at night.
Oh. That's entirely possible.
It could be.
Yeah. You know, I'm totally fine to go to lunch before I need to eat.
I think that's habitual. I think it's...
Well, that's what part of the article said is it's habit forming. It's what we did. Mm-hmm. It's what we do.
Yeah. And then you feel good because you feel all light and empty in the morning.
It says the carbohydrate craving is related to... decreases in feel-good hormone serotonin.
Well, now we're getting into responses.
Which is marked by a decline in mood and concentration.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about diet in this next piece.
iRescue Radio's top medical news.
Okay, so let's cut to the quick here. our top medical news is going to be about this dieting thing, weight gaining and carbohydrates and stuff like that.
Yeah. We've discovered years and years ago that many people experience the universal carbohydrate craving time between 3:30 and 5.
Mm-hmm. So eat some complex carbs.
I suspect
carbs.
The tradition of English tea with its carb offering is a ritual developed to fill this need.
What carb offering is in tea?
Biscuits.
The crackers.
Oh, hey, and biscuits.
Go, lad.
Hey, what's like a biscuit?
We forgot the crackers.
Wait a minute. Why don't you go take a look at some of the Brits? And see if they were the epitome of health. Like Winston Churchill?
It's a real neurochemical phenomenon.
Yeah, sure he is. I get depressed when I weigh about 40 pounds too much. I know what I need to do to get out of this funk. I need to eat some more crackers and some more donuts.
Well,
I'm just telling you, I get home,
yeah,
and my blessed wife...
Mm-hmm.
Who takes very good care of me.
Absolutely.
I am spoiled beyond belief. I really am. I lack for nothing.
Yep.
Doesn't have dinner and table at the right time. I get home 5:30.
Jeez, Dan.
And
yeah.
Just call me Archie Bunker. And I'm telling you, I have a significant craving for carbs.
Oh, you know what that sounded like? I love my wife dearly. I think everyone should own one.
Roy.
That's what it sounded like, Dan.
Wow.
Well, keep it rolling.
I'm just saying.
I'm telling you what.
Okay, so you're upset that your wife
is just because your wife doesn't want us to do this anymore.
Yeah, I wonder why. So you're talking about sabotaging your diet because dinner is late.
I will pound right into the cabinet. I'll find crackers. I'll find... Now, interestingly enough, what I've been... crackers.
Cornstarch. I just stick it all in my mouth. Whatever.
No, I mean,
corn syrup.
Literally,
instant
I'll
potatoes.
Reach up for potato chips or tortilla chips.
Well, you know what this article would say.
Get it out of the house. Uh-huh. Jans, try that. It didn't go over real big.
It doesn't work.
There was a small scale rebellion in our home, and just because it started with me isn't really my fault.
No,
Captain, my captain.
You know what?
But
Dan,
to a person, there was a collective chorus going out to my bride that said, "We need snacks."
That reminds me of Zig Ziglar saying, "I bought my wife and my son and myself a brand new set of clubs." And everyone was excited except for my wife and my son.
So
how collective was your collective, Dan?
Well, no, I without naming names.
Yeah. Everybody except for
Jan.
Kids
and
my wife.
Yeah. No, the kids were definitely on board.
Well, sure. What kid wouldn't be on board?
Yeah.
We could make pancakes 3 times a day. I'm serious. I'm sure we could.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, 10 o'clock last night, one of my children heated up leftover pancakes.
Yeah.
Fired them down.
The kicker is they could burn them.
You want me to tell you what I did last night? I sent my 15-year-old to the store to get chips at 10 o'clock.
Sure.
With a note?
No, not a note.
Give me a pack of cigarettes, too.
Hey, here, kid. I got something for you, dude.
Oh, no.
I wasn't quite like that.
Jody,
I've got visions.
But we were watching Emergency, and
it was on cardiac arrest because of high cholesterol. I said, geez, there's only one thing that could really top this off.
You know
hey,
funny?
Boy, go get me a bag of chips.
It was about a guy that was always stressed
coming
out.
On.
It was a guy about a guy that was totally stressed out.
So you got stressed, and in order to relieve his stress, he said, I need some junk food.
Boy, my wallet's over there. Grab it. Get down to the store. You got 20 minutes. Go.
I asked him, I said, hey, do you want to go to the store and get some chips?
Sure. Yeah, I don't have my driver's license yet. That don't matter.
Oh,
that's
man.
What a lame excuse.
But he wanted to go.
He wanted to go. I'm not going down alone. Okay. Everybody wants
it. It's gotten better than this, though.
Yeah.
Now I just stare at my 18-year-old. He jumps in the car with his own money.
Oh, you didn't have to ask anymore. Dan.
Pizza rolls and jalapeno poppers.
You're good, Dan.
It doesn't help that there's a grocery store right at the end of your street.
I know it. Two of them. And I don't even offer to pay. So not only do I not tip waitresses.
You don't have to reveal this.
Oh, I don't tip waitresses if they don't earn it.
There you go.
Oh. That's the long and short of it. But my point is, my son has a good job.
Uh-huh.
He earns good money and uses it on usually more worthless things than feeding his father.
Wow.
Oh,
wow,
so, there you go. So put it to good use.
Go get me some.
That's right.
So Dan and I have confessed. Dan has used his son to get food. Oh, I've used my son to get food. No, Roy. He's not there yet.
Roy lives way out in Nowheresville.
And he won't send his girls to go get food.
No. And there's no ice cream trucks that come down his street.
Yes, there is.
Is there really?
Really?
Yep.
Oh, my.
Yep.
Do they really?
Yeah, it's got Monster Munchers on, but.
You do what you got the cow do. Walking behind.
You do what you got to do.
It's a Conestoga wagon.
Oh. Raw milk ice cream right here.
He rolls up the tarp. Food trucks here.
Yeehaw!
Oh.
Yeah. I don't want to go to my grave looking my kids in the eyes saying, you just weren't worth it to me. I wanted my junk food more. Now, that's not to say that I have got it down pat. So, but it is the pressure that's always on me every time I eat a pound bad food like we did the other night.
What do you guys have for snacks at night? What do you guys do?
Popcorn.
Mm-hmm. Buttered?
You know what? No. 90% of the time.
Yeah.
It was only until my wife bought this health book.
Oh, no.
Talking about the fact that it's better to eat real butter than margarine.
Yes.
Right.
Absolutely.
That's what we put on ours.
And so what we said is, if we really have a hankering for something rich, have a serving of popcorn with real butter, 2 tablespoons sprinkled over it, and salt, and have it once a week.
Yeah. It
and work out.
So, yeah. Well, it kind of goes...
What's scaring me is I'm not working out as much. Not aerobically. I'm lifting well, but I'm not running.
Okay.
That's why I'm trying to go biking.
Well, yeah.
It kind of, you feed the craving so that you don't constantly crave it.
Jody actually should run a weight loss clinic.
Hey, you know, if the weight loss clinics are empty, can you not start a business that's called Weight Gain Clinic?
I heard this guy say once, you know the best way to overcome sin? Just quickly give into it.
Yeah.
Get it out of the way, get it over and done with, confess it,
okay,
you're done. That's what that sounds like, Jody. You know how to handle your cravings of bad food?
Just eat it.
You know? You know,
I don't know, but you can't.
Roy brings in the bagels.
Yeah.
He brings in the creamer.
Yeah.
His generosity is amazing.
Right. And what do I get? I get the Diet Coke. So who's the better dieter?
Well, now that I found out you're actually paying for it, I won't drink anymore.
I'm not buying the crap for him. It's bad.
It is
you're bad. A liability to us. Every can of Coke you drink... I cringe. Every can of Coke you drink, I want to buy a Key Man insurance policy on you. So at least I could get warm fuzzies thinking about how I could provide for your family and us.
Oh, Jody, that's a great tagline.
Jeez.
It's got to go above your door.
If you got cravings, feed your cravings so you won't constantly crave them.
Somebody's been looking at the outside bags of the chips.
Feed your hunger.
Quench your thirst. Yeah, that's exactly right.
Well, the one article that we have, getting back to that.
Yeah, why? It's shot now. It's really? From 89.
No, that article is not from 89. One part of the research was saying this old research still applies today. But if you smell your food,
I smell.
Crave it as much.
That's bull. I tell you right now, it's bull.
Well,
I don't smell 90% of the time right now.
And how much do you crave?
Yeah, so you're...
I don't crave anything any more or any less than I did when I could smell.
Well, but
I
just don't enjoy it years.
No. Not the majority of my lifetime.
And they're saying you can sprinkle this Sensa stuff on your food, which takes away the smell of it.
Weird.
And one woman lost 30 pounds.
Wait.
Amazing.
Nothing. Wait a minute.
Hang on. It's saying if you don't smell, you don't crave? Or saying you
do
smell?
Yeah, they're saying there's actually a diet product called Sensa.
Okay.
And if you sprinkle it on your food, salt.
No, it says by enhancing the smell and taste of the food.
Enhancing. That's what I was thinking it said. Okay.
Not making it less.
Yeah.
Because there's something connected to the olfactory that if you can smell it, you'll enjoy it better, and it turns off the hunger sensor faster.
I can tell you that it's very true.
That's the dumbest thing I ever heard.
So? I think it's true.
Stupid thing I ever heard.
Listen here.
I'm telling you, if it smells good, I want more.
Well, you'll want it. But what they're saying is that if you get this rich, full... Have you ever been in a bakery too long? It's just a little overwhelming.
Look at me, Roy.
I've been in a
lot
of bakeries.
Have you ever been in the schnitzel box? Just... Jody and I were lamenting that there's not enough good bakeries around.
You know what? This stuff is going to backfire. I'm telling you right now, keep it natural. We were designed the way we're designed. You know what it's called? It's not called put a Band-Aid on it. It's called get in control of ourselves.
There you go. That's your point. So well taken. So here I'm reading the mayoclinic.com weight loss help.
Yeah.
It's all common sense.
The reality is.
This is the Mayo Clinic.
It has not changed. The reality is it's not going to be some miracle product. It's not going to be some miracle method. It's not going to be anything like this. It's going to help you. It's going to be simply a matter of will and control.
It's willpower.
Yeah. I am sorry.
Yeah.
This junk here, a large part of the reason that you feel full is your brain interpreting that you've smelled it and tasted it.
Okay.
You know something? Why then do elderly people lose their appeite?
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot more going on.
I understand that, but you know what? I can smell elephant ears all day long, and I'm not one less bit hungry to have one.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean you like elephant ears.
I love elephant ears.
You do?
Oh, my lands. It's the only kind of oil slick I love. Just lay it on me. I love elephant ears. Ask my wife and kids. Yep. That's why I look forward to festivals.
I make my own.
Yeah, I've heard this.
In heaven, I think you'll be able to eat anything you want and never have a negative effect.
Elephant ears all day long.
Elephant ears, buttery popcorn, deep fried chicken wings with extra buttery garlic
hot
sauce.
Well, I'm living heaven on earth right now, baby.
Blue cheese. I think it's time for lunch. What do you guys think?
I think so.
Time for my walk.
This week's poll question,
all right.
Do you believe that the fact that you can smell something more actually decreases your hunger for it or appetite? Yes or no? So from the bowels of iRescue Radio, I'm Roy.
I'm Jody.
I'm Dan.
So get out there and get skinny. Already.
All right.
Let's go for a walk.
See you next week.
Take a swim.
Bye.
If you have anything you would like to contribute to iRescue Radio, you can contact us toll-free at 866-661-5701 or visit our website at iRescueRadio.com. The commentaries in this podcast may not reflect the views of iRescue Radio or any of its sponsors or subsidiaries. iRescue Radio will not be held liable for any damages resulting from the advice given in this podcast.